Yes, that show is by Leah Remini. Scientology. She left. She used to be a huge spokeswoman for them. And then she found out some dark things about how they separate children from their parents. And oh my gosh, I got hooked on the show and I was binge watching it one weekend. And yeah, I drive by the Church of Scientology all the time in Hollywood. Not all the time. But yeah, I am so glad that some of the people that have gotten out of it are actually using their voices to let other people know what is going on. I mean, some families seriously haven't seen each other in 30 years. They have to sign a contract that they will never associate with their own parents sometimes. It's just horrific. Wow.
Photo, you sign
they
the documents.
Scan. Well, they give you a folder. You have to get a briefcase that only you know the code to.
A briefcase?
So you go up to the window, to the AO window, and you hand them your briefcase. They scan your briefcase, and they put the materials in the briefcase, and they close it. They turn it back to you, and you lock it. Then you attach the briefcase to your body. I'm not
like a handcuff?
No, like with a little clip. Like
okay.
It has to be...
Has to be physically connected to you.
Right, so when you go pay...
Have briefcase coming with you.
Correct.
Right.
Okay. So, you get briefcase. They go down the hall and use your thing, and you're going to be let into one door, and then you're going to go into another door, and then you're going to go into the course room. So, the hall. So, you go into the three doors, two doors, whatever it was, you sit down, you open up your briefcase, and you read the material for the first time. The answers. So, my mother's sitting there in front of me. Okay, she's so excited. Understand that, like, this is what you want for your kids. Like, you're like, they're getting up the bridge and they're getting the answers to life. So when they come back in this lifetime, they're not going to forget everything. They're not going to be as fucked up as they were when they were, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's really a proud moment, you know? And so my mom's sitting across from me, like, so excited. And I'm reading this, that my body is made up of other beings. My body, my whole body, my thoughts and everything are mixed in with these other beings.
Thank you, Maria, from Strong Body, Strong Soul. Tell me about the Scientology. That is her comment on a podcast episode where me, Jamie Lee Wise, and James Scott Burnside are talking about Scientology and driving around and over by that area. And after that, then I found a little piece with Leah Remini on this Joe Rogan YouTube channel where she's talking all about Scientology. So that's a little piece of it. It was the moment where she finally had, you know, felt like she had gotten to the top of the ladder. And learning all of the answers to her cosmic questions. So, this is, in fact, Inspirato Projecto. Thank you so much for listening. I'm going to be going up to Philly Ocean's house. I think I'm going to do an Uber car interview on the way up there. Then I'll be hopping in the car with Philly. And we will be going to tonight's show in Dana Point Stillwater Spirits and Sound. Just a great vibe there. Great vibe there. So I'll be most likely interviewing the guys backstage. I might even record our sound check. Any of that jazz. I know my pseudo brother Paulie Shores. He likes to play his saxophone out there. Kind of rehearse it. Rehearse through his parts and stuff. So, I hope to see you there. It's going to be a free show. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think we're going out at 9 p.m. That's all for now. Until next time! All right, we're going to start this podcast with the Uber driver. Hello, are you Uber?
Cool.
Great, yes, that's me. No microphone this time. Good day.
Good day, sir.
So how's everyone treating you so far today? Is everyone...
Everything good, thanks God. No complaint.
Oh, that's good.
Normal passengers, normal persons. That is for us most important.
Oh, yeah. How long have you been an Uber driver?
2 years.
And how do you like it so far?
Okay, that is for me regular job, because before that I was used to drive taxi more than 10 years. I know this job, yeah. It's nothing changes for me.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so you worked for a taxi cab company?
Yellow cab. I work yellow cab.
And then you thought, wait a second, you might be able to make more money just being an Uber driver, huh?
No, same money.
No, same money.
Yeah, no. Just the Uber, that's his plus, his stats. When I want, I work. When I don't want, I don't work. You know, no lease.
Oh, yeah.
If I don't work, no pay, nothing. But in taxi, you must pay mandatory, you know.
Oh, but I don't know that.
Taxi have his own pluses that Uber haven't, you know. Average coming same.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Average same. Let's see. Much relaxable on this one. That is my pluses.
So do you like driving?
Yeah.
You enjoy it? Even in traffic situations?
You know, when you do year by year already, like you found some way how your mind turn off when traffic and does not bother you.
That makes sense.
Like some yoga, you know, something like that. So
yes.
Okay, you control your emotion, your that, and that's already coming, you know.
Wow, that's a very philosophical and very spiritual way of looking at it. It's like yoga. It's like Zen, right? You're kind of tuning into it.
You must regulate your command, your emotions, your body, you know, your brain. For example, I am writing music and lyrics for Armenian songs.
Oh, that's great.
Popular. When I coming to traffic, for example, to Orange County going by 405, yeah? Uh-huh. Until I go there, that will take an hour and a half. I can say half song I already made in that traffic.
Very cool. Yeah, that's great. That so you're able to make something great out of it.
Yeah, I don't bothering about that traffic because my mind or my eyes following traffic, everything. But there... Going another job.
Amazing.
I am in my studio, I make music. Some, you know.
Where can I hear some of your music? If I went to, do you have any on YouTube or SoundCloud?
You know, that's not English. Maybe one of those very famous, we have Armenian singers, but with him singing Armenian rapper in English. That is... DJ Art. Put DJ Art. DJ is my son. He's
famous
DJ.
DJ Art? DJ, A-R-T?
Yeah. A-R-T, yeah.
DJ Art. Okay, DJ I will look Art. Him up.
Oh, and that's, you see that song. That's,
so you two collaborate together, huh?
Yeah.
That's great. That is so great. Like a family band, huh?
Yes. Now we're working about, we have five another songs that's in the processing, different singers.
That's fantastic.
But that's already for 3 months, that's all already that song collect about 600,000 views.
Wow. And then when did you guys make that song? When did you put that together?
Now that is, you know, that is a new song. I think now some of producers talking with my son, maybe do some popular mix.
That's great.
In base of that. We'll see.
Very cool, man.
We this job like new for that, little bit now going ahead.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. That's great. So you're simultaneously living your dream while you're driving taxi cabs. You're not using this as an excuse to keep you down. Yeah. You're still letting your artistic talents continue your imagination, you're continuing to grow your imagination.
Yeah.
That's great. That, I mean, that's just fantastic.
My philosophy, I love that American popular that's words that say, if life or future your luck give you lemon, made from that, that's lemonade.
That's right. That's very that's true.
Very, I love that.
Oh, it's a really good one.
Correct.
Yeah.
Who? You will give me money or someone other. Say, fuck you, and that's it.
Right,
you
right.
Know? If you can, yeah. Oh, that's try maybe, yeah, a little bit sugar and become to lemonade.
That's right.
If you freezer, that will be cool lemonade good in this hot weather.
You know, that's interesting. That's what some people call alchemy. Alchemy, you know, that idea of turning lead into gold. It's yeah. The idea of here's this thing, and you're doing what you can with that,
yeah.
And you're making it the best you can.
Yes.
And it sounds like because you are applying that to your songwriting process as well, you're getting a lot of success out of it. It sounds like.
Yeah.
That's really fantastic. So you're both artistically creating while you are working during the day. That's amazing. So you're getting paid to create, if you think about it. You know, just to drive around, get new scenery.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, you're going to be pulling up right in front of this brown fence here.
Yeah.
And so this is, we're playing in Dana Point tonight. We're called Yachtly Crew. I want to give that to you in case you ever want to check it out. Uh-huh. We always play a lot of free places and stuff, but it's like Hall & Oates, Steely Dan, Christopher Cross, good old-fashioned 70s soft rock.
This is, okay, this is, what is, the band?
Oh, yeah, that's the band. That's the band we're
band?
In. Yes.
Okay, and what is that? That is, if something, they, if some...
well, we play
some parties or something.
Yes.
Like
oh, yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. But and also, if you ever want to go out and see live music,
see.
We sing, it's all love songs. It's all 70s and 80s soft rock.
Oh, just in cruise. Some cruise you can.
You know what? Sometimes they do have us for cruises. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Sometimes they do hire us for cruises. We're going to do one in March. And sometimes on yachts, too, which is always fun.
Okay.
So it was a pleasure meeting you. Thank you so much. It's so great. I'm going to look for that. DJ Art.
Yeah.
And then I'll look for the other...
Just a second. I can't... Okay, I do just a second. That's you. That's picture camera. Okay, that's... Okay. Uh-huh. Okay.
DJAYART.
Uh-huh. This is the...
DJAY.
Yeah.
So a lot of these songs...
This is my son. Oh, that's... That's Spitasi. I got this. DJ son.
Is that you, Spitasi? Spitasi?
Spitasi, that's... This name. This is. So Eric Shane, DJ Psycho. My producer is DJ Art. DJ Art.
Wow.
Oh, this is...
And you helped put this together? This song?
Yeah.
This is great.
He that's in Armenian, that song is got DJ in English. This is Partis Armenian.
Amazing.
For party, very good for youngs, you know that. This is
that's great.
This is Eric Shane, rapper. This is my son.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I wish I could talk. I gotta get rocking for tonight's gig. It's a pleasure meeting you. Thanks for your information. And I'm gonna look for your son on. Oh yeah, thank you. You take care. Take care. Bye bye. 5 stars for you, he says. Note to self: the impossibilities are endless. Ladies and gentlemen, I left my famed microphone at home. I'm out here just relying on my own you know, just the phone microphone. And it's filling up right now. Stillwater Spirits, it sounds. There's a woman named Lisa Guzman. She's
The mic.
I know. I forgot my mic. I know. That was one of the things I forgot on the way out. I'm hoping this still comes by pretty good. Oh, good, good.
The magic box has arrived.
Oh, yeah. Magic box of cards. Look at all these wonderful cards. Oh, my God.
I'm going to hit the bathroom.
David Bowie is handing out a whole bunch of cards right now. This is good. This is good.
Well, I'm on the bandwagon.
He is on the bandwagon.
All puns intended.
Oh, yeah. Pun intentional.
It's a two per table, because you know what? A lot of people have been, you know, putting their drinks on them, like coasters.
Oh, that's true.
I don't want nobody's drink on my face. I want something else on my face.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't need people.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pal Stanley has followed us here to the Yachtly Cruise Show.
Get off the fucking stage. How many times I got to tell you, never show up ever again to one of the Yachtly Cruise Shows. I don't care what you say.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pal Stanley followed us to the Inspirato Projecto, to the radio show. If you listen closely to that, you can hear that on a mixed cloud.
My makeup is smearing, people.
Pal Stanley is in full effect. He's got his makeup. Thank God the air conditioning is running in here, because it's starting to run a little bit.
Oh, I know who. It's Hubert down in Dana Point.
He loves it out here in Dana Point.
No, Pal, I don't.
Pal Stanley showed up wearing his swimming trunks too. So and his makeup.
You know what I need a haircut, people.
He, see, if Pal Stanley got a haircut, you would notice that he only has one ear. So he's got to keep his long hair, so he can conceal the fact that he only has one ear. The other ear is much less of an ear and more of a thumb. So he's like, you know, those rats that have like the ears growing on them? Well, he's got like a thumb growing on him instead of an ear. It's really quite a backwards way of doing it, I suppose. So we are out here. There's a doppelganger of Pauly Shore's sitting at a table. I'm determined to get a photo with the two of them together. The guy's wearing a...
So now they won't open when you tug them. Remember how before you tug them? I fixed that.
There's a lot going on. Let's just say that there's a lot going on right now. The venue is giving us free Corona premieres. Paulie, are you digging your Corona premiere?
I've already had 20 free beers, brah. 500 sheets to the wind, brah. Pauly Shore's stuck in a big boat, right here.
You can always tell when it's going to be an especially extraordinary night when Pauly is 20 beers in already before the show starts.
Extraordinary!
He's going to be hopping on tables. He's going to be eating people's foods.
Hopping into your hearts through your ear holes, baby!
Hopping into your hearts through your ear holes. That's going to be you. If you come out to see the show tonight, that's what you're going to be experiencing. We're going to...
Yeah!
We're going to be doing our sound check shortly here, folks.
She's the kind of girl you dream of. Dream of keeping all night. You'll never forget it. You'll never get it. They sing away by telling that it's human nature. Why?
I love it. These are the kind of folks I get to hang out with. A series of misfits and classy pirates.
One, two.
Folks, we're going to get back to you later on, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, we are backstage for a very exclusive interview with Tommy Bowie, guitarist extraordinaire. We don't have the official microphone, however, it will still sound just as exciting and enticing.
You're interviewing Thomas Gardner Jr. right
now. Oh, we're switching gears. Thomas Gardner Jr.
And here we are.
Ladies and gentlemen, and here we are backstage for a very exclusive interview with Thomas Gardner Jr., and we're going to have him spill the beans about his newest, latest, and greatest band. So it's gone through a few different titles, hasn't it?
Well, not really. I mean, I've just been solo for doing a solo project. I'm a singer-songwriter. I've been doing that for a long time, but solo for like the last 3 or 4 years. And within the last few months, I've got a band behind me for the first time in a while, which is cool. And the band is called The Free 99s. So it's Thomas Gardner Jr. and The Free 99s. Really great musicians behind me. It's really
What would you classify if you were to come up with a sort of genre or even like a couple of different genres that might interact with each other? What would those be?
Definitely like country, folk, singer-songwriter type of thing. Yeah. This definitely harkens back to like an older country sound, not modern country. I'm really influenced by like Willie and Kris Kristofferson and John Prine and old songwriters of the 70s. And yeah.
Well, anytime I'm in your car, you're always playing like Van Morrison. You're playing like the good old days of like Jackson Brown.
Yeah, we need help.
Those kind of vibes. Oh, good God.
Okay, we're going.
Where am I going?
Where
are
they?
Just
right, put them right there
on
those chairs.
Do you want
Please.
Me to put that back or no?
She can't. Okay. Can we put two on there somehow? Move that back.
On top of this?
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt
your podcast. No, that's okay. No, this is good. This is important. That back there is Rob Jones, ladies and gentlemen, that you hear back there in the background. It was all part of the artistic process. Not to be confused with the concess.
There's no real names used here, and there will be no harming of any animals.
No animals will be harmed. That is definitely
okay. Can I put this there?
A true. That is definitely the true.
Okay, Misty.
Story. One of the truest stories.
That's fine. Thank you. I appreciate it.
No animals harmed.
Sorry, I have some people out there. And Sean's here if you want to say hi.
Oh, yeah. What about this? Can you work around this?
Two is fine. I can't do four.
Phil, yeah. Is that your bottle?
Yeah.
This is not. She needs to have this clear. That's right. She's running.
Oh, that's
she has no way to get
it. I didn't know where.
I just had to move it.
Can you hand me those bottles?
No, you're just fired, Phil. That's fine.
All right, cool.
After the show.
After the show.
So, Tommy, how many songs did you say you got?
Oh,
I heard about Sex on the Beach, by the way.
Hey. Well, let's see. I mean, like, total? With the Free 99s, we probably have, like, 4 or 5 new ones. I have like a 4-song EP that came out in 2013, and then 2014, and then a 7-song EP that came out in 2016. So now I have 2 more songs coming out within the next couple of months.
Oh.
Which I'm brainstorming a music video for right now.
So now, did you notice that when you got together with these guys that it spawned? So the new songs that you're writing, were they kind of spawned from this new band? Well, like the vibe that you get with these guys,
for
where you're
sure.
Like, ooh, I can,
so
now you've got new.
Like we have a really, like I said, like kind of an old school country sound. So it's kind of like, well, the really instrument that makes it really different is pedal steel, which is a very, for those that aren't familiar, it's a very country twangy sounding instrument.
Mm-hmm,
it's also like what's used in Hawaiian music. Same instrument, but different style. So it really like takes like, you know, just folk or singer-songwriter songs, and really gives them like a country vibe, which is really cool. And so, yeah, I have been writing kind of with that style in mind for sure.
Oh, that's cool. So once you were kind of introduced to it, you're like, okay, now you got that in the back of your brain when you're writing songs, like how that could fit in.
Exactly. And you're like, you know, it's cool because, you know, I've gone through a lot of like iterations. I started off in rock, and then kind of like a rock reggae thing, and then I went into. I was in a folk trio for a while, which is like very like, laid back, like melancholy kind of stuff with like, kind of like Crosby, Stills, and Nash type of kind of vibe. And guys, I'm podcasting over here. For the love of God.
So with this incarnation, do you guys have
this is Tommy's episode?
That's right. Yeah. This is the Tommy episode.
Oh, sorry, Tommy, our bad.
Yeah, that's right. Gosh. All right,
leave him.
Do you have
just look at the white of his eyes?
Do you have look past the pupils, look directly into the whites. Do you guys have harmonies kind of like Crosby and Stills and Nash? Do you have those songs where you're all kind of singing together? And
for sure. I'm big on that kind of stuff with writing. I don't know, just kind of, I grew up with Beatles, Beach Boys, CSN.
That's just
so
thinking. Yeah.
All that stuff was like, you know, and obviously in Yacht Rock too, I grew up with. So all those harmonies are like kind
the
of
melodies,
like,
I
can't get away from it. No matter what style I go into, it's hard for me to get away from
harmonies. Oh yeah. Yeah.
And that's the type of music I gravitate towards, and you know, anything with like really good harmonies I tend to like a lot. So so that's what I write.
So you're kind of now, as you're writing these songs, you're kind of basing in mind the strengths of each of your bandmates at this point?
For sure. Sure. I've got a really good band behind me. So I have Dave Moore from Bakersfield on pedal steel, like we mentioned. He's just an awesome player. I've got one of my best friends, Brad Gage, on the drums, who's actually like an actor-comedian and has been like hiding his secret skill of being like an awesome drummer.
Incredible!
You know what I mean? And finally, I've been like trying to get him out. I'm like getting back into
that's
the music
cool.
scene. Because he's
you
been
chipped
doing
him
acting
out of there.
For,
you
yeah.
got him back out
he's
there.
He's a very successful actor and comedian and host and all this stuff like that. And I've been putting the earworm in for years. Like, hey, when you're ready, it's time for a band. And finally,
awesome.
He was like, all right, I'm ready.
Oh, that's great.
So,
is he somebody new from Rhode Island?
No, he's from Wisconsin. I just have known him from years out here.
Oh, gotcha.
Through mutual friends and stuff like that. So it's, yeah, he's just a great player. And I'm just the type of person that wants to have friends in my band.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like good guys. Like I don't care how good you are. I do care how good you are, but that's secondary to me behind like, I want to hang out with and write music with people that I care about and people that are cool. And like you know, there's a lot of talented guys that are head cases in this town, and I tend to stay clear of them.
Yeah, it's you know, that's awesome because like if you're going to be creating music with these people, what's awesome is if you got the good vibe, all that's going to be infused into the songs that you're writing anyway,
right.
Which is then going to get projected out into the audience, which they're going to feel.
Exactly.
They can also feel the infighting, you know, if there's like, we hate each other, they'll feel that vibe as well.
Exactly.
So it is cool that you guys all get along with each other.
I once met Mike Durnt from Green Day at a bar in Providence. And I said, hey man, a big fan. You know, that's another band I grew up with is Green Day. And I said, hey man, big fan. I was like, I'm an aspiring musician. I was just wondering if you had any advice for me. And he said, hey man, play music with your friends. That's my advice.
Oh, that's
I was like,
awesome.
Really? He's like, that's it. He's like, play with people that you love making music with, and that will reflect itself in the music. And I was just like,
whoa.
And it's what I needed at the time too. I mean, I was like,
Were you in a band at that time where you were feeling like you weren't having a very good rapport with your bandmates?
No, it was that I was in a band with my friends, and I had been with them for a long time, for like my best friends, and I was just like, yeah, okay. I was, you know, whenever you're in a band for like 7-8 years, you're like, all right, well, you know, it's like being in a relationship for 7 or 8 years.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You start to be like, you've been in that relationship since high school, like I was with the band. You start to be like, man, am I missing out or whatever? But it was like what I needed to hear. And then for other reasons, the band kind of dissolved.
Mm.
And I was just, I had been like, I am Los Angeles for a long time. So I was like, I'm going out to LA. But anyway, yes, making music with your friends.
Which band was that one again?
It was called Someday Providence. You can hear our music on Spotify. If you're listening to Inspirato Projecto on Spotify, you can just head on over to Someday Providence
good, yeah.
and check it out. Or head over to my page, Thomas Gardner Jr. That plug is now over.
So you basically, you came out to Los Angeles, and that was pretty much why that project dissolved?
No, I moved out to Los Angeles because the project dissolved.
Oh, gotcha,
kind
gotcha.
Of. Like I said, we were together for a long time, and guys have girlfriends and jobs, and I was on a certain level of commitment. Not, I don't want to say commitment, but I was on a certain level, because that makes it sound like I was more committed than them, but it's more like I was just on a different level than them. Like, I was ready to go, like, eat peanut butter on bread and live in a van.
Yeah,
and they were not ready to
Right.
I was like, okay, well, then I'm going to L.A. and seeing what I can do there. And, you know, L.A. has been hard in its own right, but at the same time, there's a lot of... When you're coming from New England to Southern California, it's a big change. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, not lifestyle, weather, all that. So you're like, you know, I just haven't left. It's really what it is.
What is interesting, because, like, you know, there is a lot of that big fish in a small pond mindsets of those who actually do come out here, because they're from those places
and,
where they're...
And that was part of the thing that, like, I was kind of... I kept asking the band, like, let's move to the big city, because we had, like, conquered our small pond. You know what I mean? We were the biggest band in the small pond. Mm. We had played a local show that had, like, almost 1,000 people at it. And it was like, and we had a song on the radio that was getting played in regular rotation.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
And zero label interest, zero. I mean, it was also around the time when, you know, the music industry was in the shit. So, like, so that was probably just bad timing, too. But you would think, like, oh, if you had a radio hit in your hometown that was, like, not just played on the local radio show, but played frequently, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That, like, oh, you would get. You know, and we send it out to labels. We, you know, we set up press packages for ourselves and send it out to labels and all that. And we just, you know, I guess we might as well just play it in the woods. That's kind of what it feels like. So I was just, that's why I was like, I need to go to LA. This is where, like, if I can make it in LA, then you can make it anywhere, you know?
Yes.
That's what they say about New York.
Never mind. Your face looked really. Your face looked Philly literally Ocean. Purple, like you had makeup on it, but it was from that light.
Were you wondering? Oh,
and I was like, "What's going on? Here?
Why is his face
also,
purple?"
It wouldn't surprise me if it was painted purple for some reason.
It's right. It wouldn't surprise me.
Interviewing.
It's right. Oh, there it is. The purple.
We're on a 10.
That's what it was. Yeah. Oh, we're on a 10?
A 10?
Are we on a 10 or 9?
We usually had 9.
Oh, 9er. Gotcha. So have you recorded songs with these guys yet?
Sort of. So, like, I was playing with a lot of them before we officially formed the band. So a few of them have played on my tracks. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, gotcha.
But a couple of them haven't.
But not
so
the
it's
official.
Like, the official band has not, like, gone in to record yet. But we have a few new songs that we that's on the list for sure. So.
Thomas Gardner Jr. and the Freeloaders.
And the Free 99. Well, the Freeloaders too.
Free 99. I think he has.
You're the Freeloader, Rob.
Yeah.
Why does it smell like is that where you're going right now? Are you going to the green room?
Anyway.
So now, since you already know the steps of getting your other music on there, I'm sure you already got in your brain how to get your new stuff on there once you create stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, you know, on there is not, that's easy. You just pay a company to do it. It's not like, you know, it's not really the big thing. The big thing is getting people, you know, I'm all about just creating the art and putting it out there and letting it do its own thing, you know? That song I was talking about that had legs in Rhode Island, like, I just wrote it and put it out there, and, you know, we recorded it and put it out there, and not really, we thought it was a good song, but that, and it kind of just, like, had its own life. It's weird how that happens. Like, it was just, like, we didn't go to the radio station and be like, please play this or anything like that. Like, it just found its way to the radio station and the radio, you know, it was a good song. And people, when it, you'll find that when people, with any art, when people find something they're really passionate about, they want to tell their friends.
Yeah.
So I've always been like, if I don't have that, then my product just needs to be better. And everybody always wants to blame it. Oh, I hear musicians all the time. The music industry sucks now. This, that. Blah, blah, blah.
There's
blah,
a lot
blah.
Of excuses going around from people.
It's like, you know what? Like, your product just needs to be better. And I'm saying that to myself, too. Like, you know what? I'm not where I want to be. My product just needs to be better. So I'm always trying to make my product better. Well, but beyond making the best thing that you can, like, you got to just put it out there and not worry about it.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. Like, yeah, put it out there without that attachment, without...
Right.
You know, that's the interesting thing is that, I mean, there are tons of musicians you'll talk to and go, oh my God, I love this song, I love that song. And you're like, oh, that's crap, I wish I could go back and do this. And you're like, wait, so this song that has inspired so many people, even that person who made that song is not even happy with it. You know, so it's like, we are definitely our worst judges. You know,
well,
we can't tell.
For sure. I mean, when you're creating an art, you can't, like you just said, you can't tell. It's like you're in the forest and it's tough to, like, really, you can't ever hear a song for the first. You can't hear your own song for the first time ever.
Oh yeah.
Right. So it's like by the time the finished product is on on Spotify or on whatever medium. It's like everybody else is hearing it for the first time and it's brand new to them, but you've heard it through all the writing sessions, through all the recording sessions, mm-hmm. through all the mixing sessions, through all the mastering sessions. It's like 1,000 times you've heard the song by the time it gets to someone's first listen. So it's like you are totally like, think about if you just sat and listened to random song 1,000 times, how would you feel about it after 1,000? You know, and you're
that's right.
You'd be like, oh god. It's like, what's up? You guys want to have a cameo on the
Inspirato Projecto? No comment.
Weasels, they're everywhere. They're like lemmings. They run off a cliff and you follow them.
It's very true. Every word that's been said is true.
I tried to beatbox it and now it's in your hair. I spit everywhere. It's in your face. I spit everywhere. It's all over the place. Spit a free flow, Tommy. Oh, yeah. Free flow, Tommy.
What? No, I don't do that.
Free flow, Tommy.
Free flow.
Spit some rhymes, Tommy Gardner, a.k.a. Tommy Bowie. Here he says, boom, boom.
Paulie spits so much it gets
spit on the microphone, spit in your face.
Spit on the microphone, spit in your face.
Ladies and gentlemen, you just heard a solo performance by Mr. Paulie Shores.
Yes. Thank you, Misty, for getting Paulie off of my podcast episode. It's his wife's birthday. He's back here beatboxing.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
By the way, we should mention that we're backstage at a Yachtly Cruise show.
Yeah, we are backstage at the Yachtly Crew show. Back here at Stillwater.
It's August 25th, 2018. We're in Dana Point, California, which is in Orange County.
That's right.
We're at the very popular Stillwater Spirits and Sounds.
Very popular.
And we figured we'd get a little Inspirato Projecto sesh going on.
Absolutely. Every word that you heard Tommy say has the potential of inspiring you to go out and create your own band, create your own music, to pick up an instrument. Heck, what Paulie just did right there with the bottle. Who would have ever thought that such astounding inventions could come from that? I mean, he made a lot of great sounds off of that. So just that in itself could inspire you to just start creating things. Music is everywhere, folks. Inspiration is everywhere. And that's why this podcast is so important, because you get to hear the process, what people go through while they're creating stuff. Everybody goes through this stuff. So it's not like a genius thing that just, it's already in your brain and then there it is and it comes out perfect. Every single person who creates something always looks back on what they did and they go, okay, I could make these little tweaks, I can change this, or I could change that.
I think so. I agree with that. You know, like, I have a million things I would change about every song I've ever put out. Yeah, any song I listen to right now, I'm going to listen to and be like, oh, that part, oh. Should have changed that. But at some point, you have to just be like, it is what it is.
Oh, yeah.
It's good. People are going to like it. Or not. Who knows? But like, it's got to go out. It's got.
Yeah. At some point, you got to let that little bird fly out of the
You got to start your own life.
That's right. Fly, little song, fly.
That's right.
Yeah. There's this quote from Christopher Nolan who said, "Your movie is never finished." How does he say? He says something to this, the effect of like, "You never actually release your movie fully finished to the public. You only release it, as finished as."
It can be in the timeline, basically.
Exactly. Because he's like, you're always going to look back on your movies and go, ah, I wish I would have made this edit different. Exactly. Why didn't I add this scene, you know?
And that's the other thing is, like, I try not even to spend too much time editing because, like I said, I've heard the song 1,000 times. By the time I'm, like, mixing and mastering the song, my creative, like, energy is already on another song. You know what I mean? I've already written this song. As a writer, I'm like, I've already written this song. Like, I'm just... Even the whole recording process to me is like, I love it, but once I get to like mixing and mastering and I've done all the performing, I'm just like, I'm kind of done with it. You know what I mean? Like, I just kind of want to like go, like I want to move on to other, as a writer, I'm already thinking about other things.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, it makes me wonder like, is my, you know, do I do my best work if my heart's not in it?
Ooh, you know, that's a good way of putting like, it. That's a good way of putting it.
But that's why I try to like, let the mix, let somebody else mix it, you know, and then you send notes and like, I try not to spend hours mixing with somebody.
Yeah, because you could actually edit out, you know, some of the stuff that's overproduced, it could edit out a lot of that raw inspiration that those musicians first had when they created that song. And it seems like the more editing, the farther and farther away you're getting from that true core of what it is. Does it feel that way to you?
Yeah, but I mean, when I say editing, I don't mean a lot of, like, editing the actual recordings. It's more like... It's more like, you know, you're EQing stuff, and you're trying... And it's a lot of, like... To me, tedious work, which is why I'm not a mixer. I've never really had a passion for it. I'm like a writer. I just want to write, and I want to record the songs, and then I want somebody else to mix it, and I want someone else to master it, and then me say, here's what I like, here's what I don't like, fix it. You know, it's like, it's a whole... I tried learning mixing for a while to, like, save money, and then I realized, like, oh, it's a whole art on its own. And, like, I could spend years literally trying to master this. And it's, like, you have to make... In life, you have to choose what things you really want to focus on, you know? You can't focus on everything. So I just decided, like, I'm a songwriter and a performer, and I'm going to focus on... And a guitar player, and I'm going to focus on those three things.
And so that's your artistic, your craftsmanship. Right. So someone who knows how to do the mastering, it is best if you just let that master, you know, that person who's good with the craft...
So I'm going to have the final say on it.
Right.
But, like, I'm not going to sit here and go to school for mastering. And, you know, as people spend hours watching YouTube videos and, you know. And if you're passionate about that and that's your thing, cool. It's just not mine, you know.
Something like that could deter someone from actually getting their product out there because they're held up by all of those obstacles, all those roadblocks, so to speak. They're like, I'm just going crazy. I don't like this anymore. Forget it, you know. And then they just, like, put the song on the side. They don't do anything with it.
I would recommend to any of my songwriting friends, like, I don't know, if you think you got it down, you can do it, and you're confident, then do it, but for me, it's like, I'd rather, and it's just better, let somebody else do it, and then you come back days later, or they send you the mix days later, and you have fresh ears for it.
And then you can be surprised by it, right? Then you're kind of like,
oh, yeah.
It's almost like something new, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
All those little intricacies, you know, like, okay, how loud are we going to have the steel guitar? How loud are we going to have the drums? Oh, gosh, how loud are we going to, you know, all that stuff is like...
There's you don't even know, man, once you get into it. There's how much you want to compress it, how much you want to pan it, much you want to EQ it, how much, you know, it's just like... And then all the levels, and then, you know, things like they have, like, automated volume, so it's, like, things get louder at one point, and then softer, and so you're going through the song, and, like, it's a whole fucking thing, dude. And I give props to every dude that's, like, a mixing guy and has good ears for that everything like that. It's just not where my passion lies, you know?
So, have you been able to link up with some of these, you know, like, people that you got a good rapport with who can mix your stuff good?
I guess I didn't finish talking about my band. So I have Lon Miller on bass who does mixing for me.
Oh, good.
And then I record and mix stuff at his place. He's got a cool, like, studio
set. That's helpful, too, that someone in your band, your actual band, actually
for sure. And he's a good bass player and everything, too. So And he's got a good ear for mixing and mastering and all that. So it's cool to have that. And then I've got Phil Luna on keys. And, man, he's just a really well-rounded musician. Good voice, can play the keys. Is really good at, like, knowing what to play when and being tasteful, you know. So I'm happy to have, you know, the band that I do have. Free 99s, man. Come check us out soon.
Where's the next place you're playing?
I'm working on it. I'm working on the next LA show. So I'm trying to find the venue I want to play at.
Have you been getting some live recordings of you? Because I think something like that helps with being able to show that stuff to the next venues. Of like, okay, here's what that stage, here's a visual representation and sound representation of what you can expect.
For sure. Well, that's on the docket for us. We're going to do some like live recording videos. Not at a live show, really, but like kind of like us playing in a studio space or in someone's house, just kind of like a chill out thing, but have somebody record it really good and have a nice little promo video. You got to be able to show people what you want. At the end of the day, you can talk your band up all you want, but people want to hear it, you know. So
well, that was the crazy thing when we played our very very first show. That becomes, it's like putting a bunch of snowflakes together. Then you got a snowball, and then you keep pushing that snowball along, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until you can just really avalanche it. So our first snowflake, so to speak, was our first show, that video, and then we were able to. Was that at Bombay?
First show was at Stillwater.
That's right, it was Stillwater.
We now take a break from our regularly scheduled programming for this word from our sponsors.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you like eating sandwiches? I know I do.
I love sandwiches.
I like pickles in my sandwich.
Now, where you can go for some good sandwiches is Stillwater. Sights and sounds. They got sandwiches out the wazoo with pickles and even some cheese.
There might be bread on the sandwich. You need bread on a sandwich, don't you?
That's right. And Stillwater Sights and Sounds, they got the best bread in the world for their sandwiches.
They even cut the crust off for you.
They do that. And also, if you like liquids, they will give you a liquid beverage of your choice that you have to pay for.
That's right. And also they have alcohol, if that's what the beverage you're talking about. And the alcohol get in your system, it'll make you all woozy. I like that.
That's right. You can get woozy at Stillwater Spirits and Sounds. Thanks for listening. And now back to our regularly scheduled program.
And we're back. Welcome back to Inspirato Projecto.
We are in fact back. Now, where can people find any of your stuff?
Spotify, iTunes.
The new band. Do you guys have like a social networking stuff?
Yeah, it's all my. It's still under Thomas Gardner Jr. Everything.
Oh.
And so if you go to Thomas Gardner Jr. Facebook page, Instagram, at Thomas Gardner Jr. That's JR. Thomas Gardner JR. All one word. Yeah.
Look for it, ladies and gentlemen. It's out there. Keep your eyes open. Keep your ears open. Oh, do you have songs by that band? Oh, wait. So you said you didn't record the new songs that you're working on, right?
I don't have new songs, but I have two new songs that I wrote and the band kind of helped me record. But we're probably not. I don't know. We might release it under Free 99s. I don't know. It's like they're kind of on it. They're kind of not. So what are you doing that sort of thing?
That's true. Songs again put out
at some point.
Yeah, that's right.
So yeah. I'm brainstorming a music video for one of the songs.
Oh, good.
And I'm gonna do that and release the song. I think I'm gonna do like a single with like a two-sided single. Even though there's no such thing as sides anymore, but you know, like two songs and with one lead single.
You gonna release an LP?
28. Hopefully someday. You mean like a vinyl?
Yeah, vinyl. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Do you hear the crickles and the crackles?
Yeah, that's definitely on the list someday, for sure. I love vinyl. So especially now, it's like that we've gone to digital.
Yeah.
It's interesting how like I just don't want to, like, if I'm gonna have something physical, I want it to be vinyl.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And just like CDs, like. Yeah, it's cool for a car. Like, does anybody ever listen to a CD not in a car now? When was the last time you listened to a CD not in a car?
You just don't. Yeah, no.
And it's like, and even in the car, most people are listening to their phones now.
That's true.
Yeah, CD's kind of gone, but it's just cool having a vinyl because it's so big. You know what I mean? You get to look at the front and the back, and then you pull out the liner notes. Hopefully there's lyrics in there, like the old school stuff, and you can read. I love reading along lyrics with songs.
And the artwork and stuff. If you were to, so for your album, let's say, have you already kind of thought in your brain like how you might set up an album, the art, whether it be artwork or photos of you?
I want to finish the songs before I kind of like, I feel like the artwork needs to reflect the songs. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And if there's like an overall theme of the album, not that it's going to be like a concept album, but you know, if there's an overall, like if the songs are all about love, then maybe the, you know, and whatever the title of the album, the artwork kind of needs to reflect that. So I tend to do that last, which is, you know, always makes you, like, last minute when you're trying to release it, like, oh, I got to put the artwork together now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I got the CD releases in a month or something like that. So it makes it fun.
It must be tricky because you're coming up with a theme that represents the songs, and so whatever that image is, that's always going to be the thing that's attached to
right.
the music you're listening to. You know, same thing with band names. You know, there's some of those bands out there that I'm like a little iffy on names, but I'm like, the music is so good. You know, I'm like, if they changed the, you know, made a name that kind of fit the music, yeah, right? Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes you'll hear bands like, Incubus. I don't know, like, yeah, right.
Incubus sounds like a death metal band or something.
Oh,
like that.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it does, it does.
It's not ours.
Oh gosh, there was something else I was going to ask you concerning. Oh yeah, your music, the recording process. That's what I want to ask you. How long does it usually take for you to record a song?
Five hours.
Do you give yourself a time limit? Do you?
No, there's no time limit. It's just like it depends on how many hours you can get in the studio. Ideally, you go in over a weekend and you get all the recording done, but that rarely happens. But I want to do that with the 399s. Like I'm thinking I'm going to bring like the us five in and get all the basic stuff done, and then you can add stuff here and there. But if you get it all done, four or five songs on a weekend, then I'll have a nice EP, you know? General, I mean, sometimes I do stuff at night. I'll put in like 3 hours here, 3 hours there, you know. You gotta figure out when people are available and blah, 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 that kind of thing. So it ends up taking a while.
Do you have any intentions of releasing a Japanese import?
Yes, I'm going to fly awesome, to Japan, right? Record an album in Japan, and then only release it in Japan and see if anybody imports it. And if nobody does, I'm sending you to go get it.
I remember in high school that there was like a big deal to like, oh my God, this Japanese import, and there are these like two or three songs on there that you will not get on the American import, and it was always like this special thing, right? Yeah. And it was like maybe only three or four songs, but it was like a $45, you know, or something to get it from Japan, and I was like, I always got such a kick out of that.
Well, I remember when, like, this is probably around like 2000, which when it was like, there was like all these bootleg CDs being made, when it would be like 30 songs of like all the best songs from all the best album, you know what I mean? All the best songs from the albums, from like a bunch of different albums, and then a bunch of good songs that were like bootleg releases.
Yeah,
it would all be on one CD.
Oh yeah.
But it wasn't released by the band. It was like somebody was bootlegging it basically.
Yeah, yeah, someone then cobbled it together, and there was something about that that really made it, I don't know what it was, but it really made it special, right?
Right, when it was just probably some Joe Blow like making bank off of it.
That's right.
But it was like I went back and looked at a few of them, and there were like CDRs basically that they had like put like a sticker over the top of.
Yeah.
And like, you know, so it wasn't even like a real CD. It was just like somebody was burning them off their computer and selling them at CD stores.
You know what we need to do? If you got any friends who like speak Japanese or write Japanese, you could always just pretend it was a Japanese import, right?
Right.
So you put out the songs that are already on the on the Free 99's album, and then add those two extra songs, and you put all that Japanese writing under there and make it look like it came in as a Japanese import.
Yeah.
I mean,
Japanese
that could be.
Import. Now it's like we're totally out of so many wrinkles. You're never gonna be able to keep track of it.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
But it's funny how it just went away with. Oh, like everything's online almost now.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I mean, almost anything. Even, like, rarities. You just type it into YouTube. You want to hear it. There's a few songs, though, that are out that, like, I can't get on iTunes or Spotify. There's, like, an Amy Winehouse song called Help Yourself that was only released in the UK.
Oh, wow.
And, like, you can't listen to it if you're in the US on Spotify. Like, you have to go to YouTube to listen to it.
It's crazy how they do.
And even
stuff
YouTube
like that.
Might be, like, I think YouTube might have cracked down on it, too, now. Hello, how are you?
Thank you.
Thanks. What was your name?
Shannon
and Tommy.
You guys ask me every single time.
Well, what's my name?
Tommy.
What's his name?
Johan.
Yeah, that's me.
How did you remember Johan? That's so crazy.
Johan.
It's your new name.
She knew it. She knew it.
Anyway, before we were rudely interrupted by the waitress.
Yeah.
What were we talking about?
Well, I was thinking, like, even if you were to burn them on the CDs and just in the regular CDR things, it might be fun to hide your albums. I'm just imagining, this is what I would do, is hide them, like, in the shelves of Amoeba or any other, like, just... like
Amoeba's the only place left, so just...
Well, that's true, yeah. Only just pretty much Amoeba, hide them in the shelves with the other albums, and then so that when someone looks through and they find it, there's no tag on it or anything. They go up to the person at the register. They're like, oh, I want to buy this thing. And they're like, wait, well, it's not in our system. Just go ahead and have it. And then it becomes this, like, really intriguing thing. They're like,
that's like the Mitch Hedberg joke when he's like, this CD is in stores. He's like, the only way my CD gets in stores is if I go in there and leave it.
Oh, my God, that's brilliant. He predicted the future. I realized,
no, I did not. That is for sale.
That's right.
Please alphabetize it.
That's right. Alphabetize it. So there it is. You can take the Mitch Hedberg thing and just actually implant it.
You can actually sell your CDs on Amoeba, though. It's they do a consignment thing.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't know they did something like that.
Yeah. I've done it.
Oh, that's good.
You know, just sold some CDs on Amoeba, but I don't really...
So, ladies and gentlemen, did you hear that? You can hear Thomas Gardner Jr. Jardner Gunier. Thomas Gardner Jr.
Album title.
Gardner Jr. That's awesome.
Gardner Jr.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like a cowboy name, Gardner Jr. or something. Uh-oh, it's Gardner Jr., the fastest guns in the West.
Maybe I should just cut out the Thomas, and I'll be Gardner Jr.
Gardner Jr. Jarner.
I mean...
Oh, that's what I was... I accidentally said Jarner Gunier.
Jarner Gunier. He's like a goon. He's
yeah, that's right. Jarner Gunier. So, did you hear that, folks? His stuff is at Amoeba. What would they? What was it filed under, would you say?
Hopefully G.
G.
I don't know.
Hired under G. Yeah. What's a genre or subgenre would they put it under?
I think folk.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, folk.
That's good. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're anywhere in the vicinity of Amoeba Records on Sunset, right?
Sunset. Or Cahuenga.
It's on Sunset.
It's on that corner. You can find his music there, which is so kick-ass. You can put it in your boombox. And
in the Los Angeles area, you can just go online like every other person.
That's true.
Listen to songs. You know, everyone, like, I said this at my last show. I was like, everyone's like, how much are your CDs? I'm like, they're $4, but I mean, you can just listen to it online for free. It's like, let's not like shit ourselves. I mean, I'm not.
Thomas Gardner Jr., make no mistake, he's a terrific businessman. Just,
that's right. I mean, listen. At this point, I make a point. At this, it's like, if you're gonna buy the actual CD, you're just supporting the artist, which I approve of. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I buy CDs, so I'm like, this person is awesome. They should be further than they are. I'm gonna buy their CD, and you know, maybe I'll listen to it in my car. But that's why it's good to have vinyl, because a lot of people have record players now, and if like you're gonna buy something physical, it's cool to like collect vinyl.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Vinyl still amazes me. The thing about it, there's like a needle in a groove,
yeah,
and a whole sound of, you can listen to a past point in time through a piece of like vinyl and a diamond tip needle.
Yeah, it's, and like, all it crazy. Is these little squigglies on there. I remember we had a record player, and sometimes I would play it but without it playing through the speakers, and you could put your ear up to it and you could hear those little sounds coming through there, those little tiny tinny sounds, and you're going, how the hell is this possible? How's this happening? How did someone actually figure out how to actually... That you can actually somehow capture that sound and even cut it into a groove in the first place is crazy.
I still don't really understand it. I mean, I get it. Like, the science of it, I get it. But it's still, like... It's one of those things that's like... You can explain it to me 1,000 times and I'll still think it's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because it is. Yes, David Bowie.
Ladies and gentlemen,
cameo.
Go out and listen for his music. It's out there. Thomas Gardner Jr. He's all over the place. Check him out live when you get the opportunity. And you don't know right now where you might play live. If you were to say where you'd play live next, where would that be, do you think?
I do play at Hotel Cafe a lot, but I'm thinking about playing somewhere different this time. So keep your ear to the ground, everybody.
That's right, folks. We shall talk more later.
Hey, hold on. I got something to say.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, Chaz has something to say.
This is Baba Booey from Yachtly Crew, and you're listening to Inspirato Projecto.
Inspirato Projecto. You know something, people? It's past standing here.